This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plum.
Afternoon. It's been, and I apologize for last week. We ran a show. Things have been very busy in the day world of mine. Unfortunately, professionally, you don't want to meet me. You want to meet me personally. With that, let's get that little disclaimer out of the way. Well, with more, I hope you went to, if towns had you, you to one. My old one, which is, I saw some old faces and some shakes, and that was fantastic. Vets throughout the wars are still alive. That's in the paper of losing 700 World War II. That's a wild number. It makes you realize how many of the the greatest generation of our country, the amount of people that just insane. So if you see them still, you know, at the airports and around town, or if you're an employer, I mean, I'm trying to go into looking at some of our vets returning. I'm an employer, and I'm hoping to help out in some manner if I can. I don't know if I can, but if I can, I'm going to do that. So Memorial Day weekend, the weather was warm and hot, but it didn't rain on us, and there was some baseball being played and barbecues. And I hope you know, it's not a celebration as much as to thank our vets and, you know, for the way of life that we live. When you're able to go to see your 9-year-old son's baseball game and then go to a, you know, a barbecue afterwards and know that things are being protected and you can sleep well at night. The men and women of our country are doing the Lord's work for us, and you should definitely thank that. Some other things came on this past weekend. I got a first my first opportunity to go downtown to the 9/11 memorial. I think everybody in our region, and if not around the country, should visit that. It's hollow ground down there. Very moving, and again, you'd have to go online to get the tickets. But you know, don't you know? It's been, you know, coming up on 11 years, 12 years, and you know, it's just you know, just can't forget. You know, the guys downtown, you know, the firemen, first responders, police, and the EMTs, and things like that, and even our citizens. A couple of my good friends directly involved down there on the you know, they were people working in the towers, and you know, there's a lot of memories there, and I don't think it should be forgotten, you know, and that's where, you know, this program kind of, it's got some of its start with, because, you know, about being prepared. And I, you know, I work downtown, and then I do what I do for my day job, you know, the fires and floods for Service Master Restoration by CPP. I will plug myself every once in a while, but I like to use the show more of an information highway, a conduit to get intel out there from numerous experts in the world of disaster preparedness and post-mitigation, if you will, of disasters. And one, my guest today is one of those persons, a very good friend of mine, consultant to me, a good buddy of mine, kind of a mentor, if you will, in certain aspects of the rapid, you know, the recovery of disasters. So, you know, again, thank Yvette. We're moving along. You know, again, last week I had to run the show because I've been busy, but I wanted to talk about the week before when I was plugging the business continuity in Passaic County, put on by Deb Hoffman. It was there was numerous people that spoke there: PSEG representative, OEM director, Sergeant James Dunham. SunGuard, unfortunately, couldn't get there. Will Steffens was speaking on behalf of the public, PSEG. When we had Stan Kolstad, who is the president of the New Jersey chapter of ACP. Stan was fantastic. He wrapped up the program. It was about the disaster recovery and keeping business in business, and the mitigation and the continuity of business. It's one of the things that we talk about here pretty often on the program, because I am an ACP member, and that's Association of Contingency Planners. And there are 43 chapters throughout the country. I know the program, or, you know, our show here, Disaster Recovery. We have many listeners throughout the country that listen through the computer, and also some people overseas, which is kind of cool. We got some people up in Norway. We've got the different first responders from different parts of the country. People in Japan, because we had a couple of shows on the earthquake and the nuclear fallout with the explosion. So it's very interesting, and, you know, I get emails from different people about making suggestions, things that I can pretty much regurgitate to get out to you guys. I mean, we have a very large listening footprint, you know, billions of people here in the New York City metropolitan area, and it's been fantastic. And so the William Patterson program was very good and enlightening. I got a chance, I took about 9 to 10 minutes of talk time out there. did a bit of a PowerPoint and try to give a quick synopsis of what our program here, the Disaster Recovery Hour, what we try to get across and try to help people out. And like I said, you know, you want to meet us, meet me personally, not professionally. But if you do meet me professionally, I bring enough information where I can help you out and mitigate your further damage. I mean, it's in the world of insurance or municipality work or state or fed or, you know, the city of New York with NYCHA. Numerous clients have asked me to do and assist with private citizens and also with business. Excuse me. So moving right along, you know, I talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, I also talked about the Long Island ACP chapter. When we had our conference out there, and we had Terry Winters from FEMA. I don't know if we're going to be able to get that PowerPoint up, but you know, FEMA is really on top of it. And I, you know, after Irene came, and you know, over the last couple of years, they've got a black eye, and Terry Winters, who's now become a friend and a consultant to the program. I mean, these people are working tirelessly to get the plans out, but they need the help of private industry, and that's where Terry is coming in with the public and the private sector collaborating, because the private sector has, you know, numerous experts in the field of mitigation and disaster, and it encompasses so many different things. It's just not, you know, DHS, not the Department of Homeland Security kind of stuff and terrorism. There's, you know, Mother Nature can be very vicious, and we had the largest claims in the history of losses this past year in 2011. The number was, I think, $65 billion. I think that was the number here in the States. That's not including Japan or New Zealand with their floods. So, Mother Nature is real under her head, and it's still. I mean, we just had a little bit of a tropical storm down south. It was a hurricane, and they downgraded it. That's an interesting. I want to have an interesting talk with somebody from the Weather Service about how they categorize. And I know it's miles per hour and wind velocity and things like that, and how they say, you know, from storm one to storm. I mean, from level one to B to C to D and so on and so forth. So that should. I mean, we're going to move into that because the summer months, it's just officially started. And then we had Irene, and, you know, kind of segue. We're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to bring back our first guest. It's Dan O'Brien, Academy Electric, and Dan is he's a Mad Hatter. He's a volunteer fireman. He's a deputy chief now, but also Dan is the man with the power, the juice, and you've heard his commercials. He's been on the program, and Dave, what, play a little commercial, and then we'll rock and roll, and we're going to roll today, so stay with us.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Sally Field for Wounded Warrior Project.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces who daily risk their lives for our freedom. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Some will suffer the effects of traumatic brain injury for the rest of their lives. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes. Regardless of your position on the war, they deserve our help. Please consider the many ways that you can get involved. The Wounded Warrior Project's motto is, "The greatest casualty is being forgotten." Let's continue to help make this generation the most well-received group of injured veterans in our nation's history. We owe it to them. To learn more, call 877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ 1160, and my apologies for recently with the tape programs, but things have been busy, and I'm trying to do what I got to do, but also missing being on the air and giving out information. Before I go with Dan, Shelly, I know you're listening, but I want to talk, just to give a little plug. I won't be able to get there tomorrow. And the plug is the Long Island, New York City Emergency Management Conference of 2012. There is some contact information if anybody wants to attend that. Shell, chime in if you want on the comments page if I need to get something else out there. But the contact information regarding the Long Island New York City Emergency Management Conference, you could contact the conference committee at linycemanagementconference@gmail.com. Now, that information is up on my comments page, so you can check that out. Shelly, hopefully I can do some a good service for, by getting some of the people to listen to that. I mean, again, like what I was talking about before, you know, about the FEMA, and, you know, these conferences go on, and a lot of these people are volunteers. So, you know, when you're looking across and you see a first responder or, you know, people doing traffic auxiliary, police and things like that, you know, that's all free. It's all free. So, thank your fellow citizen for taking the time. It's just like coaching, you know, little leagues and things like that. Those guys are, and women, I should say, because there's plenty of women out there coaching. I know it sounds like a public service announcement, but it's truly what I believe in my heart. They're spending their time away from their family doing volunteer work. So the next time you see a volunteer, you know, say thank you, including the certs. Shelly's big involved with the certs out there in Long Island. So, Shell, hopefully I'm doing a good service here. Go on the webpage to see the Long Island and New York City Emergency Management Conference of 2012. There's some contact information. And let's move right along. Guest today is Dan O'Brien. Dan is the owner of Academy Electric as well as Electrical Power Systems out of here at Emerson, Bergen County, about 8 or 9 miles from New York City. Tri-state area, serving the tri-state area. Dan is also a deputy chief at the Emerson Fire Department. The first responder knows exactly what happens after disaster happens. Flood, fires, Irene's, you name it, Dan has been involved in it. I won't go any further, Dan. There's only one guy with a big head in this room. That's me. So I can't have too many of those. But how are you doing? How's things?
Good afternoon, Chris. Nice to be back. Yeah, we're doing okay. Had a great weekend. Enjoyed our extra day off. Kudos to all of our military people. Hopefully the general public really appreciates what they do for us. Lord knows that they give us 110% all the time. And with that being said,
let's roll. But yes, again, you know, I just saw some, you know, I was just in the city this morning and about 2 blocks away. And I know I'm kind of going off the, and I see a kid with the camouflage backpack. a young kid, man, 18, can't be more than 18 years old. But these are the kids that are helping us and doing, they're sacrificing their lives, literally, obviously. But young kids like that doing it, that's amazing. It's truly amazing.
That's what gives us the freedoms that we have today.
Yeah.
Nothing but our military. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here.
With my introduction of Dan, Dan has been a good friend of mine. I've worked on many projects. Dan of Calabria and I collaborated on numerous projects, some fires and some floods. Dan is in the generating business and electrical contracting business. But nowadays, power generators, it's the forefront of pretty much average Joe citizen and business owner. What happens when I go out? Because unfortunately, like the terrorist, and it's not when it's or when it's gonna it's if and when it's gonna happen. And these are the challenges, and our government is behind it. I know FEMA's got the list of 31 points of being prepared, and one of them is being backup generators. So, but it's not just like, hey, let's go to your local box store and get something. It's just because a lot more things bad can happen with just doing that than getting a professional in. And Dan's got the same passion. Listen, we're both in business to do business, but life and safety is utmost important, and to do the things the wrong way it's just not the right way to do it. But let's start at the meat of it. Generators. Let's talk about the inception of that and the company.
Generators is a very broad term. Generators, everybody knows, a generator makes electricity. Well, there's generators and there's generators. It's like everything else that there is in this world. So what you really need to do is to put a lot of thought into what you want to do and how you want to do it. In order to properly put in a standby generator, a backup generator to back up the utility grid, you need to figure out what you want to power, how you're going to make the machinery function, fuel sources, availability of those fuels, dependability of those fuels, because again, you're relying on this generator to back up the power when everything else has failed. You don't want to be relying on a fuel source that also is vulnerable, vulnerable to a failure. So I know that the preferred source that most people think about all the time when they talk about generators is natural gas. Natural gas is a great fuel source. There's nothing wrong with using natural gas. It's a pretty dependable source, but it is not a 100% dependable fuel source. So that's something you need to think about. You need to also think about what equipment am I powering with this generator. Certain generator manufacturers make a better grade power, which I'm going to lose you technically, but there's power factors, there's harmonics, there's all kinds of disturbances on the line. And if you have sensitive electronic equipment that you're trying to power, then you've got to be very, very careful about the manufacturer that you're going to pick up to and have installed for that generator for your application.
Now, we come on, Irene happened in August, so in a couple more months it's going to be a year. But the lessons learned, for example, at the William Patterson Symposium out there in the ACP in Long Island, that's still a very present, relevant scenario that happened that we're learning from and drawing from, and obviously you become busy from that. Our local utilities, we're a heavily, the most densely populated part of the country is where we live. It's a taxing system. I'm not bashing anybody. It is what it is, because we're asking for too much power. But where does the future look like for this when it comes to the business interruption on the commercial side and the homeowners? Because it's an electric power outage triage. Whatever can tap in the most customers be brought online, those are the people getting serviced. So how do we get out and we talk about how a person is going to be responsible moving forward?
The utility companies, when there's a bad storm, are going to make the repairs that get the most customers online first. There's also a priority, so your hospital circuits will be repaired first. the utility companies know where the more crucial or more critical customers are located and what circuits it would take to get their power back on. Again, it's a life thing. You know, if the hospital's down or your police station is down or your fire department is down, it's a larger impact than a business or a home. So those repairs get done first. So there's a pecking order.
Okay. So we have Long Island. They're always getting getting a little bit of the tip from that tropical storm right now as we speak. What is the formula for to set something in plan for a business and a homeowner, because they're just going out there and looking at $599 generators. It still blows my mind that even educated people are just still looking at a dollar thing. And not to say that dollars are the driving force here, but it's the education is the key component here.
Looking at generators, again, it's like anything, is you get what you pay for. An inexpensive portable generator, you're dealing with gasoline, which we all know gasoline is extremely flammable. You're going to be pouring gasoline into a hot engine. As a first responder, that's got a lot of issues.
Right.
The next thing is the portable generators were designed to do construction sites, a circular saw and a drop light. You want to go plug your refrigerator that's got electronic controls into a portable generator, it's a gamble. You may damage your refrigerator. Really not designed for that application. And then there are standby generator manufacturers the same way. Depending upon what you want to do with them, you got to be very careful what you're buying.
So let's talk about your average. Let's back up here a second. On my webpage, drhradio.net, drhradio.net, there's a video that you've made, pretty much a generator 101. Let's talk about that. And we'll kind of segue that in and how we can break that down towards, people can look at it, they can get some education and talk to you, intelligently.
If you go and you watch that presentation, we discuss generator sizing, which, again, that's what you want to power. We talk about fuel sources. We talk about sound attenuation. Again, different manufacturers have different sound ratings. Some of them are extremely loud. And that machine is going to run for the duration of the power failure. We all know that with the recent storms that came through here between Irene and that really strange snowstorm in October that we had, we had customers that were out for almost 2 weeks. Some were a couple days, but a couple of them were 2 weeks. So if you have this engine on the side of your house or at your business and it's making all kinds of noise, your neighbors are not going to be happy campers. The next thing is dependability. So all of these things are discussed in at Generators 101. Any of our listeners I urge you to go and educate yourself. Go watch that and take it all in.
And your website is what?
The website that we have our presentation on is www.academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. academyelectrical.com. It's all there. Be my guest. Go take a look. Any questions, give us a ring.
We're going to get that. We have Lori, Leanne, we have Jersey Joan. We got some questions. Girls, ladies, I should say. We'll get to those after the bottom of the hour. Let's just continue a little bit more with Dan. But there's, besides the video, you and the guys, again, there's other electrical contractors, but there's other guys who do what I do. But when you're talking about an emergency or a setting, there's really not a gray area. It's really, you do it one way, and it's really the right way. Not to say that I'm infallible, I haven't made mistakes, but in dealing with emergency after a fire or a flood, setting up a generator for a strip mall, there's a lot of components that go into that, not physical components, but capital intelligence is involved. What are some of the ABCs?
Well, setting something up on a storm or disaster end, you've got to be extremely careful where you're putting that power. The backfeeding to the utility company is like the absolute worst thing you can do. if your voltages aren't right, your phases aren't right, I'm probably going to lose you technically. But these are the things that we know. You know, we've been doing this a long, long time. Mm-hmm. We've been working with generators since 81. We didn't just jump on a bandwagon because it was an opportunity for business.
Right.
This is what we do. You know, we live, breathe, eat, and sleep generators. We've done it. We've been there. There's probably nothing that I haven't seen yet that we don't have some kind of a solution for.
You know, and I guess you can really tie in being a first responder. It doesn't hurt having the actual, you know, boots on the ground knowledge of what the byproduct of not doing it the right way.
Not doing it the right way could be catastrophic.
I think we're gonna hit one, Dave. We'll do a break, come back. We got questions, but we still got plenty more to do with Dan, Academy Electric, drhradio.net. That's the website. Comments page is up and rolling. Stay with us. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Valentine's UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show with Kate Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examining what is logical. Could we really be here all alone?
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO show with Kate Valentine. Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest organization of wartime veterans in the nation. We've served America in uniform, and we continue to serve through our membership in the American Legion. We're patriots through and through. We believe in our flag and what it stands for. Our Constitution, our Pledge of Allegiance, our way of life are all fundamental to maintaining our freedom and the standing we have as the greatest country on earth. We promote and defend these values every day in communities across the nation. We're at the forefront to protect our flag from acts of desecration. We have many programs that teach our youth about the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and what a gift it is to be an American. And you can find us marching down main streets in small towns and big cities all across America, showing our support and pride for our veterans and their families. Go to legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Hey, we're back. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Blunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ 1160. Broadcasted right out of here, Teaneck, New Jersey. And we catch Bergen, we catch Westchester, Rockland, out the island, parts of the outer boroughs, and so on and so forth. And then there's also the great the vehicle of the computer and the internet, and it's fantastic. Well, again, keep on with the questions. Keep on going to the comments page, But I do want to want to talk about a lot of people. They've Dan, the misnomer of where does the utility should be giving me my electric and my gas and so on and so forth. But there's a cutoff point. There's a responsibility for you as the business owner or the homeowner. Where does it stop? Where does it begin?
The utility company only supplies you whatever it is that they're supplying, electricity, gas, water, only to the structure. After it's there, it's your responsibility to have all of your other equipment in place. So if the power is brought to your building and it's to wherever your meter is or your metering is done or wherever your electrical vault is, if it's a larger facility, from there up, it's you. It's all you. So you need to be able to maintain that. You need to be able to service that. You need to have a backup plan for your stuff. What if something fails internally? A circuit goes bad, a feeder goes down, major electrical equipment, sometimes they do fail. That's where, as a business, that's a bigger issue than it is as a homeowner. The homeowner system, residential systems are smaller, easier to repair, maybe a little faster to repair than a commercial system. Mm-hmm. But that's why you need to have a B plan.
Right. You know, Terry Winter said that the liaison with FEMA and to private industry at the ACP meeting in Long Island. And Andy, thank you for putting it on again. You did tremendous work this year. That's Andy Weitzberg. There was, like I said, there were at the beginning of the program, there was 31, if you call them bullet points, if you will, and the top five is I think it might have been number three is power, is electricity, is generators, basically, keeping business in business. Listen, everybody likes normalcy. I mean, there's a couple of strange people out there who like a little twist to it, but there, everybody wants to go to work, they want to get a paycheck. And this is where that collaboration of private and public are trying to get together, keeping that basically that tax revenue coming in, but it's also psychologically for a town, for say a factory. You and I did what Weyerhaeuser. I mean, those people were out of work for, I don't know, they got relocated. They didn't even go back in business.
Yeah, damage was so bad they packed it up.
And did they the plan was whatever the plan was at that particular time, but for business, people in Wayne and Little Falls, their homes were destroyed with Irene. There was no way they were getting out and going to work, but some people had sustained some damage. But a lot of people, I mean, I went to plenty of homes where people went to work and said, Chris, here's the key. Can take care of what you got to do. I have to go to work. People like that sense of going back to the normalcy.
Whenever anybody's life gets turned upside down, the more normal it is, the better it is, also for their psyche. So in order to keep that going, one of the things that you really need to look at is the B plan. You've got to be prepared.
Also to resonate what he was saying, we talked about the 3 days, the proverbial 3 days of water and supplies and things like that. He went ahead and expanded it. I shouldn't say he did. I heard it at another conference down in Delaware, where, possibly 5 days of being on your own. And that, obviously encompasses power.
Well, power is huge. Was it Apollo 13? The power was everything. So, again, along those lines, the residential systems are relatively simple and they're easy to maintain. A commercial system is a little bit more sophisticated, but along with if you have the backup systems in place, there comes along with the maintenance now, so that when the time comes that you need to depend upon the backup generator or the batteries on your UPS system or the switch gear that you have in your facility, to know that it's all going to function properly is extremely important. So maintenance and testing, your bigger switch gear, you should be getting that thermal imaged. You should be cleaning transformers. You should have your planned shutdowns and do maintenance work so that you don't wait until the time that the transformer explodes or the panel board lets go, and then you're in disaster mode. Mm. Proper maintenance is always a key to having all of your systems up. And we get lax because we're like, well, we've got a backup generator or we've got the UPS system and nobody ever tests it or maintains it. And then when you need it, guess what?
Right. I was just had a crazy thought in my head. I can't retrieve it. All right, let's move on. Let's go to it's going to come to like when one of these questions, but let's go to the comments page for a little bit. I know what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, you know, just a really rudimentary you know, from the electric company, the power company, where they're generating plants and they have substations, goes to a pole, transformer. You know, a lot of people don't understand the dynamics of that. You do. We'll talk about it in a couple of seconds, but let's not leave these people hanging too long. Lori, she lives in Florida, says, I live in Florida, and we are being given the new smart meter, which is an electric meter. It's a way of the way of the future, and I understand the process, but there is a growing concern about health issues associated with the new electric meters, or EMFs, as I say. Any feedback, Dan?
The way that that I understand that these meters are functioning is that they are radio controlled by your local utility, and what it's doing is it's giving them the ability to turn power on and off by their choice, depending upon the issues that they're having. It's a way of kind of like load shedding, so that they know that if they're having a big problem and they can turn off one or two homes for a short period of time, it may save 1,000 homes from going down because the grid, quote unquote, can't take the load. I think that it's the wave of the future. I think it's something that we're all going to see, and it's going to be here. It's going to help our utility companies handle the large loads and let them handle stuff without doing major upgrades that's going to impact us financially, because they're going to do the work and they're going to pass that on to us in our rates.
Right. Land, it's not so much a question as much as we were 11 days without electricity during the last hurricane. Could not have endured the heat without our generator. But, yeah, statement, but there you go. I'm wondering how that generator was hooked up, Leanne, if you can expand on that. But there, you know what we had this weekend, it was in the 80s, and this is a prelude of what's happening. We're going to be we're going to be without power a few times.
It's not even June yet.
It's insane. Jersey Joan, that's a very cool name. With the high temperatures, we just talked about high temperatures. With all the high temperatures we've had already in the Northeast, that would be Dan O'Brien, do you expect the summer to be with how many power outages?
If I could look into a crystal ball and tell you what that was going to be, boy, I'll tell you, I would have the world. The utility companies are taxed. We all know that they're taxed. They're doing the best that they can. And it's not like they've neglected the problem. They are making upgrades. But the demand for power has outgrown what they forecasted, you know, back in, the 50s when this was all put together. Mm. And they're working on it, but they're in a catch-up mode. So, yeah, there's going to be brownouts, blackouts, rolling power blackouts. They're going to have to do something to keep the rest of us on.
Yeah. You know what? We're talking about the EMFs, right? You know, when a new home is built, just use one of the buildings in the city when they're built, the appliances are so-called smart. So they're more efficient but using less energy. Is that what the EMF is basically trying to do? Or is that just kind of a cutoff?
The EMF is a radio frequency that that's how the utility companies are controlling the meters. But we all use our cell phones. We all listen to radios.
Hey.
It's around us everywhere. And it's not something that's constantly on. They're monitoring the loads, and all they're going to do is send a signal and turn the meter on and turn the meter off. I don't think it's that big of an issue. I know everybody is concerned about their health, and they should be, and I understand that concern. But from the information that I've had and I've read, I don't think that this is such a big deal.
Mm, all right. Let's talk about, like I said, I wanted to talk about how does that point of for a layman, you know, you get the power company, you get the big granddaddy in wherever parts of our area, and then it sprinkles down into other areas. Explain that in a classroom 101, if you will.
Well, to understand this, if you think about it, there's very basically, there's a big extension cord that runs around the entire country. And along that extension cord, there's generating plants, and they all push power into that cord. Then, as that cord travels its distance, there are places that everybody hooks up to when they take power out of that. The local utility companies have a generating station, and they generate a very high voltage. They have to do that to be able to travel the distance. So there's the generating plant, then that comes that high voltage, it goes to a substation. from that substation. It may go to two or three more substations. And each time it's breaking the voltage down lower and lower until it finally gets onto your street where there's the power lines on the top of the telephone poles. That's the higher voltage. And you see those can-looking things on the telephone poles. That's a transformer. And then that finally steps the voltage down to get it to your house. So it's a very large, very complex system. It's not just walk into the room and flip a light switch.
Before we got to go to a break in a little bit, but let's give Terry a chance. What is the best choice for an average household?
I guess you're talking about a generator?
Yeah, I think generator. That's kind of difficult, right?
That's a wide area. I would need to know a little bit more about what you do, you know, what you're trying to do with the generator. But again, a small generator in a home, you could be 7-8 kilowatt. One of the more common ones that we install is 17 kilowatt on natural gas. It's 20 kilowatt on propane. And the reason that I tell you the propane, because that's the ratings that most of the generator manufacturers use. So you think you're buying something bigger than what you're really buying if you fuel it on natural gas. And then, again, there's a lot of manufacturers out there. The manufacturer that we prefer to sell is made by Onan. It's O-N-A-N. Cummins is the parent company. If you want to take a look at them, you can go to CumminsOnan.com, C-U-M-M-I-N-S-O-N-A-N. com, a top of the line product. They're not the cheapest, but again, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Let's, Dave, we'll go to a break. Be right back. Doing the fourth quarter. Giants win the Super Bowl. But anyway, let's rock and roll. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
For every soldier who served in Vietnam, there is a story. There are stories of suffering and strength, courage and self-sacrifice. But as time takes its toll on the surviving veterans, many of these stories could be lost forever. The Education Center at the Wall will preserve and display photos, letters, and memories of veterans so their stories and service will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. Chris Plunkett, your host, every Tuesday here at WVNJ 1160. The Voice, broadcast out of Jersey. Today, my guest is Dan O'Brien. He is the owner of Academy Electric. They are electrical contractors and also electrical power systems, generators, and we are talking about generators today. That is a hot topic. It's been a hot topic for years now, Dan. Hello, you and I have been doing work together for, what, 8 or 9 years now?
Yes.
Something like that?
Time flies when you're having fun,
and
Chris.
It's like doggy years, right? 57, I think it is, right? But
easy.
I know. But it's, you know, if our government is saying, listen, be prepared. I mean, they're always saying be prepared. I love the, you know, on the highways in the city, out on the island here in Jersey, you know, the .govs, be prepared. The worst disaster that can happen is not being prepared. And I get a picture of, I think those are fantastic PSA announcements. We try, you know, what we do here on the program is try to do those types of things and get information out there. But generators is the, you know, it's a commodity. But it's just not a flippant thing to enter like a contract. It's you should do your due diligence. You should get the professionals. And there's you know, it's and there's some good guys out for you and I. You know, we've seen enough to where, you know, we don't want to see the continual stuff, that the same mistake over and over and over again.
If people do their homework and they're properly planned, it's not an issue. And you know what? A few years back, what was the worst that happened? We had 2 days of 92, 93 degree weather.
Yeah.
We almost hit that, and we're in May.
Right.
So it's not that you have to have the generator because of the generator, and it's about being prepared. You've got to be prepared. Times change. The weather has changed.
Drastically.
Right? We've never seen some of the weather that we're having today 5 years ago. So maybe 5 years ago, it wasn't that important for you to have a generator at your house and the storm's coming and store water and make sure you've got some canned food and, again, be prepared. But because the storms are becoming more severe and longer in duration, mm-hmm. and you need to adjust.
You know, and one of the things that we've learned over the program is, you know, Joe Citizen or Mary Citizen, however you want to, you know, tag him as, you know, so some municipalities are not prepared. You know, some are, and we're living in a crazy budget constrained world where we're squeezing more out of nothing, and you know, to have a backup generator or even the discussion could be a bit of a hot topic.
Money's always an issue. Town budgets are strained. I'm sure everybody's personal budgets are strained. But think about the strain that you're going to put yourself under if you're not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to say if, and now we're at the point of saying when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our power was much more dependable, and it's not the utility company. You know, everybody gets on their little soapbox and, oh, the utility company this and the utility company that. We live in a very highly populated area. The demand for power is tremendously high. Everybody wants their trees. Everybody wants to have their central air conditioning and their microwaves and all the rest of this, and the utility companies are struggling.
It is amazing, and the noise factor. You know, there's just a lot that goes into picking a generator and getting the right intel on it, and then, you know, it's a taxing. It used to be the number is. I think they were talking. The FEMA rep was talking about you know, $1 prepared is it used to be $11. It's way past $11 now. It's somewhere crazy above over $60 because the disasters are that much larger now and that much more severe. And Katrina is a perfect example of that. I mean, look at Katrina. I mean, they're still having conferences about lessons learned from Katrina, and rightfully so. And rightfully so. I mean, Irene was big. I thought our governor did a great job. And, you know, this is not a political program, but you know what? Get the hell off the beaches. Why not? You know?
Again, safety. Safety is more important than anything. Your house, it can be rebuilt. Your business could be rebuilt. Your car that gets crushed by the tree could be replaced. A life is a life. There's no replacing it.
I want to reiterate the video. It's going to be on both our websites, but we want to go to your website. Give me the website again.
www.academyelectrical, A-C-A-D-E-M-Y, electrical with the AL on the end.com. Go and open up Generators 101, and it's going to go into a little bit more detail than I can with you now. Time is limited, but it'll explain to you some of the things that you need to do to make an intelligent decision.
Well, we just, you know what, we just rolled in with about, how many more we got here? we got more questions. You have to stay here. Can we go run another commercial? It's, let's see, we got Terry, you got Dave. What's the lifespan of a typical mid-priced residential system? And if installed the system in the home, as long as I own a home, will I need to upgrade and replace the system every few years?
Few years, absolutely not. With proper maintenance, again, here we go, maintenance. With proper maintenance, it's not by time, it's by engine hours. So the biggest killer is that most of the small residential products, you got to change the engine oil every 50 hours. Everybody goes, wow, 50 hours, that's a long time. There's 24 in a day.
Yeah.
So every 2.5 days, we're looking at changing oil. Power was out for a week. How many people shut their generators down and change the oil during that week?
Nah.
Yeah, didn't happen. Nah, not happening. So, again, proper maintenance. But you should be able to get somewhere in the 1,000, 2,000, maybe even 5,000 engine hours. The Onan product's warrantied for 2,000 hours. It's under factory warranty for 2,000 hours. That's something to look at when you're looking at manufacturers.
Right, there's your due diligence. Now, they're from Leanne. Downside to hooking up a generator was that we had to have it in the garage, next to the garage door. We would have preferred to do it outside. Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, carbon monoxide, right?
Yeah, there you go. Portable generators. Carbon monoxide, gasoline, not really good, clean power. There's issues.
Yeah. Steve's question, what percentage of private homes have generators? What's, you know, I mean, obviously you're busy, but what have you seen?
I'll tell you, after the snowstorm in October, by November, we stopped counting it, over 500 calls of people that wanted generators. And I know that and we're only just a tiny little piece of the pie. I see a generator in a home being like a central air conditioning unit was 10 years ago. It's going to become the standard.
Really? Wait till somebody invents the combination HVAC and that. Lori's question is, does your electric bill go up when you have those surges of power on and off? So if the electric company were to turn off your power and turn it back on, would it be a boost in the bill on the consumer?
Shouldn't really be a boost. Residential electrical meters don't register demand. They only register kilowatt hours. It's the power that you consume. If you left your air conditioning system running, it's going to cost you X to keep the house cool all day. A setback thermostat, let it go get a little warmer during the day when you're not home and catch back up at night. That's what they're going to do to you. I don't see where it's going to really require more power. I don't see an increase in your bill. And they're only talking about being able to shut it off for a very short period of time.
Right. Well, a short period of time. You know, at tens of thousands of or hundreds of thousands of people in our region. Misha got a question from Misha. How much would it cost to run? This is, hopefully we can answer it. Gas, a generator for 2 to 3 days for an approximate 3,500 square foot home. Realize there are a lot of variables just as approximation. And does the insurance company give you a discount to having one?
Most homeowner policies will give you a discount on your homeowner's insurance if you have a generator. Because they realize that you're not going to be making the claim if you have sump pumps. Mm-hmm. That's another big driving factor.
Right.
If you have pumps and you have a generator, you're not going to have that huge claim for a flooded basement. You're also not going to have the claim for food being thrown out of your refrigerator.
Right.
Those kind of things. A lot of people put claims in. I couldn't stay in my house. I stayed in a hotel for a week. I don't know, a hotel in a week, depending upon what hotel you stayed at. You know, right. I don't think they're going to pay for the Ritz.
Yeah.
But, yes, there is a discount on your insurance. As far as cost to run it, it matters what you're paying for your fuel, and it matters how loaded the engine is. There's too many variables involved, and we really don't look at cost of fuel for running a generator. We look at the availability and, again, lifestyle and everything staying normal that you're staying home.
Got a question from Tom. A couple of things from Tom, unless it's a different Tom. It says, what system would you suggest having supported by a generator? It looks like how many things that you should be running. It says, I would think a refrigerator, communication, plumbing, i.e. electrical pumps, thoughts. But you really can't break it down. You would, as a generator, you would have to have the whole home, or you're just going a little bit at a time.
again, there's things to do. If you go look at that Generators 101, it'll give you more detail of what we're looking at. But you can break out certain circuits in the home. You can back up your heat, your sump pumps, your lighting, refrigerator, basics. Or you could go and make it larger, and then you buy the machine. Again, it's about sizing the generator. Mm-hmm. You got to size the generator for what you want to power. But you can do from bare bones necessity to the entire house, the whole thing, soup to nuts.
We squeeze one more in with Greg. It's basically about money again. You know, it says, well, you talk about money and how a friend who lost, they have a friend who lost power three times last year for 3 days or so. He went on to the hotel, fed his family. Yeah, these are like insurance related. There's a dollar amount. Dan and I both have seen it over the course of these, storms. It's a lot of people, you know, when they have these floods and fires and there's a total loss, they have to go out and buy these things. That's time. That's an aggravation. I'd rather have things salvaged and saved than be able to stay in my home. Dan, I couldn't thank you enough for coming down. We are buddies, we're friends, but yet Dan's very important to my knowledge of getting out information regarding Generators Burn, regarding the program. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Any other questions you guys got, you can go to our comments page on our homepage at academyelectrical.com, and I'll get back to you.
Cool. And as we always like to do, it seems like I'm cutting you off, because it seems like we're just really starting to wrap into this thing again. That's what happens when you only have an hour. But Disaster Recovery Hour, every Tuesday here at WVNJ 1160. Couple of minutes to go. One thing, you know, let's end the wars, bring home our troops. It's going on too long, and you know, and then we're losing 700 of the greatest generation every month. I'm not telling you anything you people don't already know about. If you need to talk to somebody, thank a vet, thank a volunteer, across the board. Dave's giving me the 45-second look. Dan, again, thanks a bunch for coming down. I know you're busy, and God bless our country. We'll talk to you next week. Be safe.